Come on, God is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Wednesday nights we've been talking about prayer. Amen. And this week is no different. We're going to be still talking about prayer. But we're going to talk about prayer in a little bit different sense, which hopefully all of them in a little different sense to give us a little different light on it. But tonight we're going to be speaking. The title of the message is The Prayer of Faith That Saves the Sick. And we're going to be talking about that and looking at it. So go with me to James chapter 5, the book of James in the 5th chapter. I believe Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. He's the one that never changes. Amen. I said, He's the one that never changes. Hallelujah. And so if there's a disconnect between what He said and what we're doing, then it's not His deal, it's our deal, right? Come on, if He's promised us something, we're not receiving it, it's probably not His fault. We probably don't have a case to go up to heaven and say, well, you know, I should have got that and you didn't get it to me. What's the deal? Well, first of all, we'd be dumb to do that, but that's not going to be the case. I just have this feeling when we get to heaven, all the things that we're upset about down here, we're going to go, who cares? Right? Who cares? I'm here. But it's the wrap-up of James's letter, and his letter is actually written to Jewish believers, but we get to be tagged in here, but look with me at James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him go talk to everybody all about it. Let him put his post on Facebook. Are you suffering? Let everybody know you're... No, that's not what it says, is it? If any of you are suffering, let him pray. First thing that we ought to do when we're suffering is pray. We ought to talk to God. God, you're the one with the answers. You're the one, you know I'm hurting right now, God, and so I need you. So it's kind of an interesting concept there. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I like this. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. See, honey, it's okay for me to sing all the time. Right? Because I'm cheerful. Renita says that living with me is like living in a musical. She's so blessed. She said, well, at least you can sing okay. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. But watch that. Is anyone cheerful? I like that. Let them sing psalms. I've been doing a little bit of reflecting on worship and the psalms, and you know, and part of the psalms are David reflecting on himself and everything, but I think the majority of the psalms are directed at God. Right? So watch this. Anybody cheerful? Give thanks to God. Give God the credit. Give Him the glory. Talk to Him about it. And let everybody else know. Right? Let everybody else know that it's Jesus. You know, how come you're so blessed, Jesus? How come you're smiling, Jesus? How come, Jesus? It's Jesus. Now, your answer is Jesus. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then it goes on to say, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Kind of an interesting group of scriptures, and we're going to break it down just a little bit, but is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I believe the word elders here means mature ones. Are you sick? Find somebody who's got some maturity about them. You want to find somebody who can pray. And you want to find somebody who's going to pray the prayer of faith. Right? Because you want results, right? But in finding somebody to pray, you have to have some confidence before you even go. And we're going to talk about that. Before you even go up and ask them for prayer. If we pray, God's going to do something. Right? I'm not wishing that this might happen. I'm not hoping that this is going to happen. When we come together to pray, faith says, I have it before I see it. Right? And this is interesting. Is anyone among you sick? Verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church. Come on, let him call for the elders of the church. And today, right, today it's like we can literally call the elders of the church, or we can literally, do FaceTime, or we can go on Messenger, or we can write them an email. But back in those days, if you were going to call on the elders of the church, you had to be face-to-face with them. So part of the reason that I think even meeting together in person is that we're together, right? And we can pray for one another eyeball to eyeball. And we can feel, you know, there's something more personal about that kind of prayer. But I'm not saying that you can't call for somebody and have them pray with you over the phone. I've done it all the time. But I think there's something more there's just more power in it when you're together. Does that make sense? But watch this. This is really important. And this is incredible because it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we always have our little oil bottle up here to be obedient to that. But really the oil represents the touch of God and the anointing of God on the person who's praying. In other words, you want to find somebody who's mature in the faith, who knows that when they lay hands on them, that Jesus is going to work through them to touch the person that's getting prayed for. See, I have an expectation when I lay hands on the sick that God's going to use me. In fact, I like to look at it this way. First of all, I think, well, if Jesus was here and he walked into the room, I'd sit down, fall down, lay down or something. But if he walked into the room and he said, listen, are you sick? Come on up. I want to pray for you. You'd think that when he laid hands on you, you'd be zapped, taken care of. Everything would be fine, right? Well, we have to look at ourselves and look at the body of Christ and have an expectation that God is using men and women today as his body. So that when we're coming together and we use the oil or we just use the name of Jesus, that there's a transfer of power that goes from heaven through the person's body and into the other body. Right? You got to have that expectation. And we're going to see in a minute that it's a combination of the faith of the person that's praying, but it's also the person that's receiving. Right? Look at that again, and we'll go on to the next verse. It says, anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And again, I got to emphasize this. I believe, right, that all of any believer has the right to lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. But not all believers believe that they have that right. Not all believers are confident that when they pray for somebody, anything's going to happen. So what you really want to do is you want to find somebody who believes that God will use them. So that you can... Does this make sense? It's kind of like, I need to have confidence that you have confidence and that God's going to use you tonight, today, right now. Amen? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. Not the prayer of doubt. Not the prayer of maybe. Not the prayer of I hope so. But the prayer of faith. You know, there's confidence in faith. There's an assurance in faith. There's and not egotistical, but there's a bravado in faith. What I mean by that is, when I pray, something's going to happen. When I pray, there's an anointing that's going to come to you. And I've experienced this over the year where I've felt the tangible anointing of God go into a person, but they didn't receive it. And so nothing happened. So there has to be the prayer of faith on the person who's praying, but I also believe there has to be faith on the person that's receiving. Right? And that connection. Well, God can just do anything He wants to do, really. The Bible says that God wishes that all men would be saved, and the way as far as I can tell, that hasn't happened. Right? I believe that God wants to move in the body like never before. I believe, and this is my personal feeling, my personal belief, even my personal goal, is that God, we want your glory so with us and in us that when we are around other people, they know it, they sense it. Right? And it's kind of like even our church services is like, Lord, if somebody new comes in, if somebody has a need, they're going to come in contact with your glory, and your glory is the one that's going to be available for them to be changed. Right? But even God's glory, if God showed up in full power, we still have to connect our will with that glory. We have to want it. We have to go after it. And that requires something out of us. I'm thinking about the nation of Israel, and I mean, the whole nation was invited to come up into the glory of God, and they said, no, thanks, Moses. You go, you and Aaron go, we'll stay right here, you come back and we'll talk to you. Right? And it's like, no, we got to want, we got to desire to be in His glory. Why? Because I believe in His glory is where answers are going to be coming to people. It's like our arguments aren't working. The programs aren't working. Different things are not working. But I think if somebody comes into a confrontation with the glory of God, it'll work. We were at a minister's conference Monday and Tuesday, and one of the questions that was asked a panel was, well, you know, how do we reach this next generation? How do we do this generational thing? Because it seems like, you know, it's not working. It seems like there's a lot of people leaving and all of those kind of things. And I think this is very profound. But I think that we have to set up opportunities for men, women, boys, girls, grandpas, grandmas, to have the opportunity to come face to face with the living God, and they have an experience in God. In other words, they have a face to face encounter that they can't get away from, that they'll never be able to deny. Right? When I got saved and I knew I was saved, but I'd come in contact with God, and there was something remarkable that happened on the inside of me, and I'm not sure that that's been everybody's experience. And I'm not saying your experience has to be mine, but what I'm saying is that we need to start believing for the presence of God to be so strong that people have the opportunity to respond to His presence. Does that make sense? And so what does that have to do with this? It has everything to do with this. I have to believe that when I'm praying in Jesus' name, He is absolutely behind the prayer. Right? That it's not, well, Jesus, I hope this works. You said to lay hands on the sick and something would happen. Well, I hope it works, Lord, because if it doesn't work, I'm going to be made a fool of. No, you can't have that attitude. You have to know, Lord, you said to lay hands on the sick. And the anointing would be there to touch people. Now, I've had experience in this, right? I mean, I'm looking at some of you and thinking about people who were sick when they came in, but they weren't sick when they left, or over the years they've had diseases fall off of them, or they've had pain leave them, or whatever. That has happened, and I can't deny that. That's absolutely the truth. But I've, you know, Lord, I want more. I want more of that. I want more of the results, right? And so what we're talking about tonight is the prayer of faith should be saving the sick. And why isn't it happening? I think that there's many reasons, and it's not a guilt thing, but it's like, Lord, we need to be more aware of how much we need to be dependent upon your anointing, and upon your anointing to pray, but also your anointing to receive. Right? I need to be able to pray in the anointing, but I also need to be expectant to receive from that anointing. Does that make sense? A mentor of ours, Kenneth Hagin, he had Jesus appear to him, and the Lord touched him in his, I think it was his right hand, and he said, you know, whenever you feel this in your right hand, if you can get the people to believe that that anointing is there, they'll be healed. Kind of wild. But he couldn't always get people to believe that. So there's a hooking up here that's going on. But I want to see more people healed. And really, I let me say this in a way that will come across correctly. You know, I care if you're healed physically. I mean, I don't want you to be in pain. I don't want you sick. I don't want you all of those things. But that really doesn't mean a hill of beans to me if you're not saved spiritually. Right? If you're not healed spiritually, if you're not right with God, because as Jesus said, what good is it to go in with all your appendages and end up in the lake of fire? It'd be better for you to go without an arm and get to heaven, right? I mean, that's kind of what he said. And so I have that burning within me. But again, listen to what he says. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. This doesn't say he might. It says he will. And I love this part. It says, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. If you get somebody who's not born again and they come up and they get touched by God, what an open door to say, now the same one that heals you wants to save you. Right? And so it's like, Lord, help us as believers to actually believe and have an expectation. Let's go on this, and then we're going to go to some other verses. Watch this. He says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? He says, lay hands on the sick, and the prayer of faith will raise them up, and they'll be healed, they'll be well, and they'll be saved. But then he goes right on to talking to believers. Confess your faults to one another. Confess your faults. I don't really want to go down this road too far, but I've been studying about worship and personal worship, and in the Old Testament, it's really evident that the first part of worship was repentance. The first part of worship was going before the Lord and making sure that you were clean before you went into His presence. And that has great application to us today. But watch this. It's kind of like, okay, Lord, if I've got somebody against somebody else, if I've got something against somebody else and I'm expecting you to use me, I need to have that straightened out because that's going to hinder my effectiveness in praying for somebody else. Right? If I'm expecting to be healed and yet I'm mad at the guy that's praying for me, or I feel like somebody else has used me or abused me and I don't get that straightened out before, there may be a little hindrance there. So again, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And then I love this verse. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Who is a righteous man? Who's Joseph said, I am. Who is a righteous man? Is it one that does right? Well, maybe. But really, the only true righteous man is one who's been covered in the blood, right? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But there is an aspect to, once we get saved, to live righteously. Right? Not just do anything we want and expect God. That there is, he said, to be holy for I'm holy. Right? But watch this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I have to come into it knowing that I'm right. I have to, when I pray for you, I have to know that there's not a hindrance in me that would keep God from using me to get to you. Does that make sense? So it's like this. It's like, Lord, I'm not looking for sin that's not there, but if there's anything that's keeping me from you and anything that's between us, I want to get that out of the way, because I want to be a vessel that can be used by you for this person. Right? And I know that I'm righteous. It's not about me being holy enough, good enough, all of that, because on one hand, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no way I deserve to carry the anointing at all, but because of your mercy, because of your grace, because of your love, I have the ability to do that. And so I'm confident that I am a carrier of the anointing because you're living on the inside of me. I can know that I know that I know that there's an anointing that's coming on me to minister in this situation. I've told this story before, but my sister called me, that's years ago, and said her best friend, his mom was dying, and she had a heart issue, and she'd had some surgeries and even some appliances put in her, and but those were, it was all done. Her heart was done. She was dying, and so my sister's friend asked if I would come. And, I'd never met the mom, but I said, sure, I'll come. Of course I'll come. But it was one of those days or one of those experiences where I was praying about it beforehand and praying for several days beforehand and said, Lord, when I go in there, I know that I know that I know that I don't have answers that can get to a spiritual conclusion without your presence, without your anointing. But I'm confident that you're with me. So when I go into that room, when I go into that hospital room, I'm not going as myself per se. I'm going as your ambassador. And I have a knowledge or an understanding that you're going to be with me. There's a confidence that comes from that. And so, long story short, when we first got there, they were, doing some things with her. So we had to stand out in the hallway and... my sister and her friend and some other people that were there were all talking in the hallway, and I was just kind of by myself, but I was just thinking and meditating on the anointing that I was feeling right then, and knowing that this was a divine appointment for me and for her mom. And so in doing so, it's like I'm going into the situation as a righteous man that's being used by God. And when I went in there, watch this, this is so incredible, that the presence of God came, and there was small talk going on, and then I was up, right? I was up, so I went right up to her bed, and, she's laying in the bed. I went up to her and sat in the chair and started talking to her. And out of my spirit, I said, I forget her first name, but I said, there's angels in the room right now. I mean, I didn't see them, but I knew they were there. And I started talking to her out of the anointing. And I mean, the presence of God that filled that room was incredible. Now, I wasn't there to get her healed and off the bed. I was there to get her healed and ushered into heaven. And it was so powerful. I left. My sister called me later. She said, you know, there was a gal there that was from another state, I think Idaho or something, but she was a Mormon lady, and she was in there with us, and she responds, she said, did you feel that? Did you feel that? Did you sense? And it was the power of God. But it was the power of God going through a vessel that believed that God would use him. And who's supposed to be like that? All of us. Why? Because the fervent prayer of a righteous man is supposed to avail much. Does this make sense? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, but we've got to begin to first of all, be in awe of God that He would use us and reverence His holiness and come at it from the standpoint, I've got to have less of me and even be inconvenienced sometime so that God can use me to touch somebody else. But I'm available. I'm available. Does that make sense? How many know how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's always the aspect of knowing the Word, but letting the Holy Spirit download to you the Word that's needed at the time. Right? Because I can know all the Scriptures, I can have the quotes, I can have, you know, it all detailed. When this happens, then I'm going to use this formula. When this happens, I'm going to use that formula. And in my mind, I have a game plan. Which is okay. But the reality is, Holy Spirit, I need your game plan. So I need your Scripture for this situation. I don't necessarily need to have the formula. I need to have the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the trust that the Holy Spirit is with me and will guide me and use me. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. How many know that Jesus had a pretty good record of healing? Yeah, he had a pretty good record of healing. But did you know that there were some places he couldn't get people healed? Did you know that? The Bible says that in his own hometown, he could only get, and some translations translate it this way, he could only get a few people healed with minor ailments because of their unbelief. They recognized him as Jesus, the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph. They didn't recognize him as Jesus, the anointed one. And so they didn't believe, and so therefore they couldn't receive what he had to offer. The same power was in him. The same ability to speak to people, to lay hands on people, to deliver people was there and available for them, but they never touched into it. Matthew chapter 9. And let's go to verse 2. It says, and then behold, they brought him a paralytic laying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Isn't that amazing? It said that he saw their faith. God responds to our faith. God responds to our faith. But it said that he saw their faith. They came in unity to get this paralytic man healed, but he saw all of their faith. Watch this, it's incredible. And verse 3 says, and at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemies. But Jesus said, knowing their thoughts, why do you think evil in your heart? For to which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He saw their faith, and their faith caused an avenue for not only for his sins to be forgiven, but for him to be made whole. Right? So it was Jesus' power, but it was their faith hooking up into that power. There's a great debate on God's sovereignty. Is God's sovereignty that God does everything, God knows everything, so everything you do is pre-programmed and it's just the way it's going to be? You really have no, we're not robots. Right? In other words, it's not automatic, some of the things. We have to have our part in it. The Bible says even to be saved, if you confess with your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You won't be saved unless you meet the condition of if. Does that make sense? So even in the process of coming up to be healed or to get prayer for healing, we have to be active in God. I know what your word says, and based on your promises, when I go up, I have an expectation of what you're going to do. But faith doesn't come up and say, well, if I feel something, then I know I get something. Faith says, I believe something, and therefore I have it before I see it. Does that make sense? So in other words, I'm going, and when I go, I'm going to get healed. Go to the 22nd verse of chapter 9. And this is the woman that had the blood disease and everything. She's verse 22. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Wouldn't you think if Jesus was there and power went out of him, he'd say, yep, got another one. Right? Got another one. Man, I've got the healing anointing. You come to me, boy, you're going to get healed. I understand that mentality. I understand the confidence that comes from that. But the reality is that in this situation, Jesus said, it wasn't my power that got you healed. It was your faith that when you came to me and touched me, you would be healed, that connected my power with your situation. Right? And so the prayer of faith is not just the person that's praying for somebody. It's also the person that's receiving has to have that confident, glory to God. Over and over through the years, I've heard testimonies about people who've had miraculous healings. And it's like, people that have had cancer, people that were bedridden, people that were dying, And their testimony was, they said to their relatives, whoever was helping them get to the meeting, said, I know I'm going to be healed tonight. You just get me to that meeting. I don't care if I'm on a stretcher. I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair. If you have to carry me to be prayed for, I will be healed tonight. And they were. They were. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying the prayer of faith takes a giver, somebody to be a transponder of the anointing, and it also needs to have a receiver. Okay? So what we're doing is and believe me, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe there's a place where the gift of faith, working of miracles, where it's all God. But in the realm that we're talking about tonight, if there's any sick among you, let him come to the elders, but let him come expecting to receive. Does that make sense? Okay, look at verse 29. Well, let's start in verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Why did he ask him that? I believe he wanted to stir up their hearts and their faith. He didn't have a doubt that he could, but he asked them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. According to your faith. According to your faith. It's not just the anointing of Jesus. It's not just the anointing of the preacher. It's not just the anointing of the prophet. It's not just the anointing of the room. It's your faith touched with that. It's like having that tenacity. Lord, I'm not stopping until I receive the full promise of what you've offered to me. Come on. So good. So good. Y'all still with me? Go to chapter 15. And we're talking about healing here, but it really has to do with anything that we want to receive from God, anything that God's promised us. I'm just in turmoil. I need peace. I need peace. I'm just stressed out. I need prayer. Well, the power for peace has already been paid for, purchased in the blood of Jesus, and the anointing is there to put the peace upon you, but you have to believe before you come up that when you get prayer, you're going to receive that peace. Right? And one of the things is you have to know that it's God's will for you to be at peace. And you have to understand that it's not God who's robbed you of your peace. But Lord, I'm going to receive peace tonight. I'm going to give you all of my, I'm going to cast all my care upon you tonight. Lord, I'm supernaturally going to just throw it at your feet because I'm coming into your presence. I believe, Lord, that when I get prayed for, all of that care is going to go and your peace is going to come. I have faith for that. Chapter 15, and look at verse 28. I must have written down the wrong verse. It happens. No, that's the right verse. 28. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. It's so good. This is the one where the Samaritan woman came and said, Jesus, I need my daughter's sick. She needs some healing. And Jesus was, you know, we're not just going to give crumbs to you. And she said, even the dogs get the crumbs if they, you know, sit at the feet. And she said, man, this, you got it. See, she said, I'm not leaving here until you bless me. I'm not leaving your presence until I get what I came for. And I'm not coming arrogantly, but I know that you have the anointing and I'm believing for it. And I'm going to stay with it. And he looked at her, and I'm sure he just chuckled inside and said, you got it, girl. You got it, girl. Your faith has got you what you desire. See, there's a connection between the giver and the receiver, and that is faith in the one who's promised in Jesus' name. Chapter 17. Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved to here and to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and by fasting. And this is where, you know, the little boy needed to be delivered. They brought him to the disciples. Jesus came back and he said, what's happening? And Jesus got him delivered. And they said, why couldn't we do it? And he says, because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. And then he goes on to say that by prayer and by fasting, this kind only comes out by prayer and by fasting. I don't believe necessarily he was talking about you have to pray and fast to be able to deliver someone. I think he was saying you have to get rid of yourself and believe that God can use you to do this. And so in other words, by prayer and coming into a relationship with God where you believe what he says and that you understand that he wants to use you to minister to people, and you you know, get rid of your selfish ambition and all that kind of stuff, and you just come before God and say, God, use me, then you're available for Him to use you to see the come on, those that are sick be healed, and those that are bound to be delivered, and those that are, you know, bruised to be healed up, and I believe that. I said, I just believe that. So I have to ask you a question. If Jesus was in the room tonight, again, He is, but if He was physically walked through the wall like He did in the book of Acts, and He came into the room tonight, and He touched you, what do you think would happen? Right? Something supernatural, something cool would happen, right? I mean, it would, whatever. If you had a desire, if you had a need, if you said, Lord, I really need to have some wisdom, let me touch you. You'd get the wisdom. If you needed to be healed, be whole. That's His heart. That's what He wants to do, right? So if Jesus was here, what would He do? Did you know that He is here? And I'm not saying in a physical sense. I'm not even really saying in a spiritual sense. I'm saying that in the connection that He's the head and we're the body, He's here. Right? I mean, you don't go to bed at night and say, well, my body's over there, but I'm going to go to sleep. Right? You know, you pretty much take your body everywhere you go, right? Sometimes I wonder, but, you know, it's like my head's over there. But anyway, but the reality is wherever the body is, He is. That's so strong, but it's right. He's the head, we're the body, and He wants to work through His body. So I'm believing and growing stronger in the fact that when I lay hands on the sick, when I pray for somebody to be delivered, when I'm praying for somebody for peace, when I'm praying for somebody for wisdom, that when I'm praying, I'm not praying as my own self with my own ability, but I'm praying as an ambassador for the Most High God, and that He's using me to pray. Do you believe that? Come on. We're going to receive some things tonight. What would Jesus do? Look at Acts chapter 10. If Jesus was here, what would He do? Acts chapter 10. And we'll start out in verse 36. It says, and the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, when you call for the elders of the church, you must believe that God is with them. And that if God is with them, then He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to read that in a minute. But that Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the one who gives peace. Jesus is still on the throne. And prayer definitely changes things. But it's not only the prayer of faith of the person that's praying, but it's the prayer of faith of the person receiving that prayer. Amen? So one more, and then we'll close. And it's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have an expectation. God is here tonight, and He's going to touch you tonight.
you that are watching online, I believe God wants to touch you. But in the room, I believe God's going to do some things tonight. Verse 8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Everybody say yesterday. Today. Today. Right now, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you come to Him for a touch in faith, He'll touch you. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So again, the prayer of faith, saving the sick, must have the element of the person that's praying the prayer, believing that God's going to use them, but you also have to have confidence in the anointing that they carry. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You for everybody that's watching online. And Lord, while we're here, while we're praying, I just thank You, Lord, that there's no time or distance in the Spirit. And even now, as I'm stretching my hand as an act of faith toward the camera, Lord, I thank You that You're touching people right now in Jesus' name. I command pain to go. I command stress to go. I command all of those things to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now listen, if you have aught against somebody, let it go right now. If you have any type of hatred towards somebody, repent of that. If you have forgiveness to give up, just give it up right now. Because Jesus is here to touch you and to heal you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's simple, but it costs you everything. You have to lay your life down and you say, Lord, I'm going to live for You for the rest of my life. Come be Lord of my life. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, You've raised Him from the dead. He is my Messiah, and I'll live for You for the rest of my life. Say that, believe that, and He'll touch you in Jesus' name. Those online, thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.